with right understanding.
But you see that when there is awareness of a reality and understands it as a reality, is it not joyful to know, to understand? It's quite a release from not knowing it as just a reality.
But loba will creep in. When it's joyful, loba creeps.
If there can be the understanding of loba as a reality. That's why panya has to develop. The only thing is develops. Otherwise, no wishing result to have it come without any cause at all.
But a moment of panya is a moment of panya developed. So it just needs a moment at a time. Mm-hmm. A moment is enough. For development.
Yeah. And if one has the right understanding, no clinging to the result. And one can understand why people in the Buddha's time could become enlightened at any time, any place, any object.
It seems like this panya is a very powerful cittasika. I mean, we've been... Well, lopa has been accumulated for who knows how long, but it seems that, like really highly developed panya, to know, really know, to actually eradicate defilements, that's very... So, like, strong panya or highly developed panya, I don't know if you'd say highly developed lopa, but it just seems like it's a very powerful thing.
That's why Buddha pointed out the 22 indriya. See, even panya which accompanies
indriya,
even panya which accompanies satipatthana, the awareness of a reality, is panyinsi, because
pan indriya,
indriya is faculty, and because why panya cannot arise now, so at that moment when panya arises, it's a level or aspect of panya, which is the faculty of understanding reality at this moment, even if it's not the last three panyindriya. See, the last three panyindriya is first, the first one is panya, panyinsi of sotapanna, which can eradicate the wrong view and wrong practice and doubt about reality. And the second is the sotapatthipala up to the arahata makkha. See, different aspect of panya. And the last one, the highest indriya, is the panya which accompany the arahata pala. Because the development of understanding has been done perfectly, completely, no more studying in order to get rid of unwholesomeness. So even panya has levels. Yeah. Otherwise, how can one explain about the panyindriya? Because when it's just panyinsi, like satinsi, viriyinsi, satinsi, it's just panya which understand reality when there is awareness of a reality. But it's not that panya of sotapanna yet. It develops, it grows, until it becomes that level of panya. So each moment when panya arises is not lost. Passed from one moment to another moment, from one life to another life.
Just talking about for a moment the way that panya is accumulated. I mean, I suppose the factors for conditioning and development are the same for any kind of kusala, generally speaking, is that right? That the development of any kind of kusala works in the same way.
Yeah.
And is this any different from the way that, say, akusala is, we'll say, developed, but I mean accumulated? I mean, are the conditioning factors.
Each javanachitas is accumulated.
Right. So it is the existing set of accumulations that are the main condition for the arising of a given tendency in the future, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Yes.
So that we really know what is possible. Would you say a little bit more about the Buddha's compassion in this regard, to really pointing out what we think is unimaginable?
I think that we shouldn't think much about how or the way he explained, but any word helps one to understand the truth. No selection between male or female.
The compassion to just to point out the latent tendencies.
Yeah. And especially he taught the monk to realize how dangerous a woman is. What about anything which is unwholesome is dangerous?
Yes.
Not just by the name woman or man.
So I think it's the understanding the danger of what is unwholesome, and at the same time developing detachment from what is arising as unwholesome is what is so important. Because sometimes people hear about developing detachment and they think, oh, that means like, oh, it doesn't matter or something. But no, it's pointing out the danger and developing detachment at the same time.
And when we talk about detachment at this level or this aspect, we mean detachment from clinging with the idea of self, from the objects which is appearing. Only this level, not detachment from sensuous object, because that is the development of Sakatagami in order to become an Anagami.
And seeing the danger of akusala, it means especially that we accumulate more and more in each life.
And we shouldn't mind how much we have developed detachment. Just having understanding of reality which appears. Mm. And panya works its way.
You say at this level we're not talking about detachment from sensuous objects because, you know, that's higher level. But shouldn't there be a beginning to see the danger of clinging to sensuous objects, beginning of detachment from one's experience through the senses?
Only by one's accumulation. Mm-hmm. Like Visakha Mikaramanda,
right.
See? People might expect that she shouldn't,
right.
But it's her own accumulation.
But in the paramis, in the perfections, you explained also about Nekama, that we, all of us in daily life, can accumulate just a little more detachment. When the water, when there is no warm water and there is only cold water, it's okay too. We have cold water. I always think of that when there is no warm water in the shower. Just a little each day, you said.
Yeah. And the meaning of nekama is any moment of kusala is nekama. So at that moment when you are thinking about warm water, it's not kusala.
I always think of that.
So one can see one's own clinging very clearly to what? Lemon.
Which tea?
Mm-hmm. Or if one thinks one shouldn't mind the cold water, it's still clinging.
That was going to be my, well, I don't mind cold. I can put up with cold
it's
water.
Clinging
also.
It's clinging.
I think like that.
So one can understand what is meant by island. See?
The island of Dhamma in the ocean of concepts.
Mm-hmm. Just when there is awareness of a reality.
But it's only a very small island then for
it
us.
It doesn't matter, as long as there is an island.
Yes.
So what does it mean, be an island? Because the same, or?
Because in island at that moment of developing understanding of a characteristic of a reality. Because right now, ocean of concept, ocean of picture, ocean of attachment, ocean of avijja.
So why does it say be an island unto yourself rather than just understand
When we think of ocean and we are in the ocean, what we need? What do we need?
A life raft.
Does it mean one is one's own island, though? I mean,
yeah. Otherwise, how can we find island where somewhere? Not this moment.
No one else.
But
can.
It means this moment, this very moment.
Yeah. Not relying on anything or anyone else.
And the other thing is, going back to your question about the women, for example, that it's not the object that is the danger, of course, but the attachment to it, especially for the monk.
Yeah. As long as one hasn't become as anagami, one cannot be underestimate the accumulation of clinging to sensuous objects. Yeah.
Comfort.
So even a sotapanna cannot underestimate the danger.
Sotapanna knows oneself perfectly, right. One's own accumulation.
Although the clinging there cannot condition breach of the sila, which is different than from.
It's not coarse.
That's quite amazing, that idea of the sotapanna who has absolutely no wrong view but still has lopa for many objects.
Okay.
That it shows me that how deeply rooted the lopa must be, because even sotapanna is still attached to going shopping perhaps or liking many things.
What is now arising? Wrong view or attachment to realities?
Both for me.
Both? You mean that you have wrong view together with attachment to sensuous object? Or what
more
is more?
Yeah. What is more? Attachment. Attachment is...
What arises more?
Well, the attachment, I would think. Everything I see and hear...
Sensuous object. So it's so... thick and it's so deeply rooted. So what should be eradicated first must be wrong view, wrong understanding. And then a sotapanna is aware of lopa, which is not as gross because it does not arise with ditti. So it begins to see the danger of the gross attachment to sensuous object. Until that person has become a sakatagami.
I'm beginning to understand a little more what it means about the path leads to detachment. Because in the past it was often, I want more understanding, but that's the big hindrance.
Again? Yeah, because
yes.
Attachment is to be eradicated.
Yes, yeah.
So does one really want to eradicate attachment? Or one knows that it's impossible to eradicate attachment until one has more understanding, little by little?
This morning you mentioned about, you know, we were talking about, you know, attachment to loved ones and all we held here, dear, and you were talking about... giving up the burden. Would you say a little more about giving up the burden?
I found it so bitter.
Yeah. The bitter medicine.
Yeah.
In Tipitaka, when one lost the dear one, like lost a son or a wife, when that person came to see the Buddha, there are conditions to understand realities, and some can become enlightened. See? So it's not a matter of whether we should have none, but it depends on panya, which
whether
can understand.
Giving up the burden at that moment.
Right.
Tremendously, when one knows one doesn't have to try to give up attachment to sensuous objects or let you try to cut down sugar or try not to enjoy the visible objects, and one can see the Silabhata Paramasa creeping in. So
do you know why?
Why it helps so much?
Why it's like that?
Why it's lopa?
Why it's
like that?
Like that. I think it's more detachment from the clinging to self.
Because it has already arisen. What can you do?
It's happened already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course, yes. I had a good example out of that temple, that Thai Hindu temple that we had lunch at yesterday, day before.
What Thai?
At Rajgir.
Nalanda.
Oh, I'm so lost where I was. There was the man was selling a lot of necklaces, and I looked and I really liked one particular necklace, and I came away and thought, no, that's just I'm just having lopa for those things. The image of the necklace wouldn't go. I had to go back and buy it. I went back. I had to go and ask for money. They all tried to help me, but I had to go back and buy it.
So you know why again? It has a reason.
And we were just watching the show.
It has a reason already. So we don't have to move away from it, because it can be object of understanding. Mm-hmm. As long as it hasn't arisen yet, who can have that moment as its object? Mm-hmm. It has to be that which has arisen, like now, at this moment.
It's so much easier not to go shopping, because then there's no lopa. When you go to the stores, I want that, I'll buy that, only because you see the object and then...
So right understanding can understand reality which has arisen. Only.
And even if one doesn't go, one can still be dreaming about it, or when the others come back, one can
wanting to know
be
what
so
they've bought.
But when I know for me, when I see the visual object, and then, oh, it's so beautiful, I get it. Lopa.
And what has arisen? Anything now? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they cannot appear. Mm-hmm. Since that reality has arisen, so it appears for awareness, if there are conditions to be aware of.
Was this also why the Buddha, I think I've heard that the Buddha instructed the monks just to keep the eyes in a downcast way, not looking everywhere. Was that also part of it, so they don't see all this visual object?
That is
wanting?
Some part of Sangvara, because there are many degrees of sangvara as well.
What is some
sangvara?
Guarding
of the senses.
Mm-hmm. For monks' life, it must be different from lay people's life.
Patimokkha sangvara, so according to the rules for monks.
And only patimokkha sangvara is not enough. So Buddha also taught about indriya sangvara. Many sangvara.
This means guarding the sense doors.
I'd like to hear more about that, the lopa that's arisen already, like you mentioned, that you know it's there, but already it's arisen. There's nothing can be done.
We don't have to think that it has arisen and it has fallen away. Whatever appears. No understanding, and then awareness, and then developing understanding.
Because it's still more moments of lopa. It isn't like you see the object at the mall and it's like lopa, and then you're thinking about lopa, because isn't it also still arising? Lopa, 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 lopa.
Whatever appears,
it has arisen. If there is no awareness, it's gone completely, never come back. For nobody to regret, because there are other reality instantly.
I like the one when you were talking one day, and I actually wrote about it in a message to the list about akusala arising. It's gone already. But what if it's very strong akusala? It's gone already. It's gone already. It's gone already. It's such a good reminder.
If that was on the same topic.
It just seems silly to be clinging to something that's gone already. And yet we do.
Yeah, and even if it's something
because
bad,
it's not you, it's ignorance.
I'm just thinking of going back home with my children there, and you know, who are Christians or atheists or whatever. And I'm just wondering, is there a surefire way to introduce the Dharma to them, or even is it better not to attempt? Because sometimes children go against what their mother says to them. So, but yet I would like them to know the Dharma. And
just them or anyone who has accumulation.
Well, I have to be truthful and say just them above all.
Only them?
Well, no, yeah, other people, but there's special. There's attachment. I know.
Anyone.
So, so
if there's someone who doesn't have any accumulation for it.